Let's keep this conversation going as we now bring on from the other side of the table, Lawrence Reed, president of Mackinac Center for Public Policy, joining us on POTUS 08. Thank you, Mr. Reed.
Hey, thank you. My pleasure.
So he made a lot of sense to me, so why don't we do what he says?
Well, I think the Electoral College is, although it's not perfect, you can't put it up against the notion that the popular vote method of electing a president would not be without problems. I think within a matter of a few elections, if we went that route, somebody would be writing a book about why the popular vote for president is bad for America. In fact, when you look back at 2000, a lot of people think that what happened there was a reason for getting rid of the Electoral College, but it was the Electoral College that guaranteed that it all came down to one state instead of contested elections in a lot of places across the country where the vote was close.
So, in other words, from a logistical standpoint, you're saying we could literally have challenges to elections in thousands and thousands of precincts around the country as opposed to let's look at one state where things might be in doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Florida wasn't the only state in 2000 where the popular vote was very close. New Mexico was another one. But it didn't come down to endless lawsuits and partisan bickering and dubious recount efforts in New Mexico, because everybody knew that ultimately its electoral vote count wouldn't make a difference. But it did in Florida, so everything was focused there instead of on endless and dubious recount efforts in lots of places.
And there are other people who would argue also that if Vice President Gore had won Tennessee, that his own state, that he probably would have won the election in 2000. But what about the notion about fairness? I mean, it's very fair when, in most Americans' minds, to say, look, my vote should count the same as anybody else's. And if I live now in a state, and I'll use the example I used before, if I'm a Republican and I live in Maryland, I might as well just stay home on Election Day as far as the presidential election is concerned, because I'm going to get outvoted, you know, 60-40, and my vote's not going to mean anything because the Democratic candidate for the president will get all the votes, will get the electoral votes in Maryland.
Well, these are the rules. It's not unfair that Rhode Island gets the same number of senators as California does. There are reasons for these kinds of rules mm-hmm. to be in the Constitution. I suppose somebody living in Great Britain could say it's very unfair that they never get to vote for a person for prime minister, for crying out loud. What they do there is they vote for parliamentarians, and the majority party in parliament then selects the prime minister. They never have a popular vote for the head of state there.
Well, in the original Constitution, the way that votes originally were taken is literally there were electoral colleges. There was no popular vote in the first several presidential elections, and it was based only on the electoral vote. We only had, well, at first 13, obviously, but we very slowly, very quickly moved up in terms of the number of states that we had, but it was not a matter of popular vote. And we had a lot of different individuals. As a matter of fact, the first couple elections, the president and the vice president were determined by who came in first and second in the Electoral College. Now, though, we are so many years removed from that. Is it not an appropriate time to at least examine the Constitution and determine whether or not that particular system works in the context of today's election process?
Well, there can be some refinements and improvements. I think one might be a requirement that in every state that the electors of that state vote for the candidate who won the majority of the popular vote. About 26 states have such a rule right now, but it's still possible in many states for electors to not vote for the man or woman who won the most popular votes. And if you recall, in 2000, there was an effort before the thing was finally settled to try to steal some electoral votes from states where that went one way, but some of the electors seemed to be soft and could be persuaded to go the other.
It's almost like it's almost like the early superdelegate battle in 2000.
Yeah. In fact, as we've gone through the years and refined and improved these things, the Electoral College has caused fewer and fewer problems. In the 19th century, we had elections in 1876 and 88, where you had a disparity between the popular vote and the electoral count, but only one time in the entire 20th century. So I really don't know what the real problem is, but I do see great virtue in a system that recognizes the importance and the sovereignty of individual states. I don't want our presidents elected according to candidates who have campaigned heavily in a few large states and ignored the rest of the country. The Electoral College sort of forces everybody to focus on the entire country and become a truly national candidate.
Well, but really, in if you take that particular argument, aren't there issues with that? For example, there's no need for the Democrat to campaign in Wyoming. There's no need for the Democrat to campaign in Utah because there's not going to be any way that a Democrat will carry those states, right?
Well, but they still do, and sure, they don't give it as much emphasis as the big states. I'm not saying that.
I mean, if I'm running for president, I'm a Democrat. Why would I even bother to go to Wyoming?
Good point. But the fact is that if the popular vote determined the outcome, you could ask the same question: why go to Wyoming? Why not? Why, if I already have strength in certain key states, why not put all my energies in there and win them big time?
In other words, just go where the people are. Well, I guess there are positives and negatives to both. The question next becomes whether or not representation in the Electoral College based on a proportion of the vote would make any sense. How would you feel about that?
I'd be open to that. I think there's some merit in that, and I believe there are a few states that do it that way.
There are two. I know Maine is one that we were just talking about where they actually have some of that going on. Is it a challenge because of the fact that there are... when there are three candidates, for example, if we go back to 1968, when George Wallace was running, he actually picked up some electoral votes. Ross Perot in 1992 picked up a lot of popular votes, I think about 19 million, but he didn't get any electoral votes. And there have been instances in the past, if you go back even to 1948 when Harry Truman ran, and he picked up the most electoral votes. Indeed, he did it without the solid South because Strom Thurmond running on a third party picked up electoral votes there. Thomas Dewey didn't pick up enough to win. Is it the problem of the third party that really brings the, you know, and it did in the sense that, you know, Ralph Nader brought those votes to bear in Florida. Is that the issue, or is it the fact that, you know, maybe the Electoral College itself has some other flaws?
So I'm not sure that shifting to a popular vote resolution would fix that problem. You'd still have a problem of the possibility of somebody becoming president with far less than a majority of popular vote.
So the essential issue is one of as much logistics as anything else, and in your particular opinion, it is the sovereignty of the states that should rule here as opposed to some overriding national election, just to make sure I'm summarizing it properly.
Yeah, I think there's great virtue in our federal system, a system that recognizes and grants important status to our individual states. And I think that makes for a stronger country than if we just become one large amorphous national mass. I think the fact that we have strong states in our federal system has been somewhat of a check on unbridled power in Washington, and that's been a great strength of our system, having laboratories in 50 states rather than one large national single experiment.
So essentially, and bottom line for you, is that although you would not favor the elimination of the Electoral College by any kind of constitutional amendment, you would be in favor of examining possibilities of changing it or tinkering with it in some ways on a statewide level.
Well, yeah, and of course we have that now. The states do have some leeway, and as we pointed out a moment ago, some states do award their electoral votes proportionally.
Why haven't more of them done that, do you think? Given the fact that after 2000, a lot of people did say, well, let's get rid of the Electoral College, and clearly people are going to say what they need to right after an election, and cooler heads prevail, and then we have a discussion about it. But why have not more states done that?
Well, I think that there just hasn't been a burning need, widely perceived, to do it. The system has worked very well. And so if there had been an ongoing, every election crisis in the Electoral College, maybe you'd have some movement in that direction. But I think that's just a lot of hype, and that when it comes down to it, the system's worked very well.
Lawrence Reed, the president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, in favor of the Electoral College. Thanks again for being with us on POTUS 08 today.